But I hope after today, you'll see and recognize the importance of having a good attitude and smiling. And please understand, your positioning here, you're on this earth to make a difference. And many people, they are so much of our communication studies tell us that most of how we communicate is not verbal, it's body language. And so smiling is so critical that we make a decision that smiling is our favorite. And yes, I can get you to say that. Look at your neighbor. Say it again. Say, smiling's my favorite. But here's the truth. Unless we can really change how we think, listen to me, unless we can really change how we think, we're not going to change, you know what, that outward appearance. But I'm telling you, smiling is so, so important. And having a good attitude is so important. And having a hopeful attitude of joy and peace and comfort. That's all promised by the scriptures. It's all promised by God. Amen. Christians ought to be the most happy people, you know, whatever. Now, I know there's sermons, and I'm not saying they're bad. You know, I'm talking about, well, you know, the difference between being happy and being joyous. You know what I mean? And I understand that, and I'm not saying they're not bad, but I'm just saying, you know what? We ought to be happy. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. We ought to be people full of joy. We ought to be people full of peace. We ought to, when you walk into the room, listen to me. When you walk in the room, people ought to feel it. Amen. Amen. See, your calling is, God made you incredibly unique. And that uniqueness needs to come across to people. That it's funny because I look at pictures of Shayla when she was little. And, you know, I can see Shayla now. I can see her personality in a picture of when she was just a year and a half old. What's that about? And then I can look at a picture of Tyler and see his personality. I mean, just when he was 3 years old, I can see that personality. I see it all the time. I see it in Megan. The same thing. Pictures of them little, but you know what? And can I tell you what I'm looking at? I'm looking at what God put in them. That's what I'm looking at. And what we need to do is we need to mix whatever God put in us with the joy of the Lord, and we need to walk into rooms and infect those rooms. Amen. Infect those people. You say, well, yeah, but I'm not extroverted. I'm not talking about being extroverted. I'm talking about being happy. I don't care whether you are. Listen. That thought of I'm not extroverted. Let me just ask you, where did that come from? Who said you're not extroverted? Because the Bible says you are a light. You are the light of the world. I'm just asking. Has anybody noticed Jesus isn't walking on this earth anymore? Jesus, he's not walking on this earth anymore. You know what? You didn't see Jesus yesterday at Home Depot, did you? You didn't see him at McDonald's, did you? Well, you better not have, because he's not here. Let me tell you what, Jesus isn't here. But you know who's here? You're here. And you are called to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. That's who you are. Where's Jesus? Read your Bible. He's at the right hand of the Father. That's what the Bible says. But we also understand Jesus theologically is in our hearts. But Jesus isn't here. You're here. Is this making sense? And you're here to infect other people. Well, how do you do that if you're so busy being bummed out that your car broke down? Or that, you know what, or that your husband's upset with you, or that your wife's upset with you, or that your kids have gone off the rails, or whatever, or you got a bad haircut. You know what I mean? How many, a bad haircut can freak you out? You know what I mean? Amen. How many know this is true? But you got to make a decision. You know what? I am not going to be freaked out. Amen. See, be happy you got a full head of hair. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Okay. See, I'm just saying there's plenty to be happy about. There's plenty. And what I said as we started, you know what? I don't care how bad your life is. If you got Jesus Christ in your life, your life ain't very, you've got a good life. You got a good life. And we need to come into this atmosphere of faith and be preached to a little bit and remember that smiling, this needs to be our theme. This needs to be our mentality. This needs to be who we are. Smiling is our favorite. And we have every reason to smile. So I want to go over some things in the scripture and show you some things. Are you ready to learn some things today? Look at your neighbor, say, smiling's my favorite. Okay, now say it with a smile. Amen? Amen? Amen. Number one, write this down. If you're taking notes, write this down. If you're not taking notes, write this down. Okay, number one, you have the power to be happy. You have the power to be happy. If you're born again, then you have the Spirit of God living inside you.
Amen.
Amen. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Look what it says. I have it up on the screen. Philippians 1, verse 12. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which are happening to me have actually turned out for the furtherance, don't go to the next verse yet, for the furtherance of the gospel. What happened to him? This is Paul, and he got put in jail. He's in chains. He's in chains. And you know what he's saying? He's saying, let me tell you what. I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. What's happened to me is not bad, it's good. Now, I'm just asking, how many of us, if we were in jail, if we were imprisoned with chains on, and it just happened to us, would go, well, how many of you would be able to think on the reason why you being in jail would be good? See, I know it would be easy to think of why it would be bad, but how many of you have the spirituality to focus on that which is good? You know, that's what he writes. He says, what you need to do is you need to focus on that which is good. He's in jail, he's in chains, and you know what he's focusing? And I'm not saying that he didn't have plenty of things to complain about. I'm just asking, how do you think, what kind of food do you think he got in jail? Oh, I'm telling you what, can you imagine? You know, what kind of jail, you know what, do you think those early Christians, what kind of jails do you think they lived in? What do you think the conditions were? How do you think, you know what, just in a practical sense, just something as practical as going to the restroom, how do you think that was in that day? In a jail, in chains. What do you think it smelled like where he was? And yet, notice, he didn't talk about any of that. You don't know anything about that. Can I tell you what? That was real, and that was life, and that's where he was. But we don't read anything about that. You know what we get to read? We get to read, wow, there's something good about this. Next verse, look at this. So that it became evident to the whole palace guard and all the rest that my chains are in Christ. You know, here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, there's a bunch of people that are recognizing that I'm sold out for Jesus. You know what was one of the most critical points in Tamara's maturing in the Lord is when I told her I was leaving to go up and live from Newport Beach with my parents in El Monte or in La Puente to work in Baldwin Park, you know what? And she knew how much I loved the beach. And yet, when she said, well, I ain't going anywhere, I said, well, you do what you're going to do, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. See, let me tell you what. One of the most critical times in her spiritual development is when she knew how much I loved the beach, how much I loved being there, and yet I was willing to do that all for Jesus Christ. Amen. Why did I do that? Because the Holy Spirit had called me back up here, ultimately here. Hello? Ultimately was to this place. I didn't know it then, and it took actually about over 10 years for that to eventually manifest, but God knew what he's doing. How many know God knows 10 years in advance? So, but here's what I'm saying. Look, he's saying, guys, they know that I wouldn't back down. I could have backed down, but I didn't back down. And because of that, I'm in prison and I got chains on. And they're recognizing, wow, this guy sold out to Christ. Here's what I'm saying. That is an awesome witness. That will, you know, it's one thing to talk about Christ. It's another thing to live like Christ is real in your life. Amen. It's one thing to talk about following Christ. It's another thing to talk about following Christ that people would see that your actions, that you believe in Christ so much, that you believe in him so much that you'll do something even if it seems like it's going to cause you hurt. Yep. See, now it's not just about talking a big talk. It's about walking a big walk. And he's saying, guys, me being in prison and me not backing down, me continuing to talk about Jesus is Lord and Jesus is the Messiah and everything that he talked about, these people are starting to notice. Hello. Next verse, watch this. You already went there. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident, watch this, say those next words. Having become confident, say the next three words. By my what? Oh yes, hallelujah. He was chained in the love of God that just filled his... No, he was chained with chains. That's what he's talking about. And he's saying, listen, not only are all these people possibly going to get saved and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord because they're seeing how adamant I am about God, I'm not denying God, and you know what? And they're threatening to kill me. I don't, you know what? Later on, he says in this book, he says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Yeah. He's just like, hey, what you going to do? Kill me? See, because here's what he's thinking. If you kill me, I'm going to be with Jesus. See, they can't get him. And he's like this focus of his life. Listen, his focus is on Christ, and because of it, smiling is his favorite. He's in jail, and smiling is his favorite. So, you know what, it probably stinks, he probably has bad food, you know what, he's probably, you know what, the medical treatment of him, you know what, is probably, you know, ridiculous. I mean, just the condition that he's in, and you know what, he's saying, smiling's my favorite, because I'm going to focus on all this good that's going. We don't know any of these things that are going on that would typically be going on with a prisoner who's in chains. All we know All we know is that he's influencing people that he's around, and not only people that can see him, that are around him, but people who aren't around him. See, because here's what's happening. What's happening is people, Christians, that are intimidated to share the gospel, you know, it's not like today. And even today, there's starting to be a backlash. There's starting to be a negativity. The political correctness says that everything is okay. And Christianity doesn't say everything's okay. Christianity says, you know what? Everything's not okay, that there's certain, but you can't just believe anything you want. Christianity says that there's a real hell that people are going to, that Jesus said, you know, well, you talk about politically incorrect. Jesus said, you know what? He said that too. But he said, I haven't come to condemn. You know what? I've come to save. But then after that, he says, hey, listen, watch how politically incorrect this is. Anyone who believes, they're going to be saved. But those who don't, they're condemned already. Isaac, is that very politically correct? Telling people, you know what? You need Jesus, and without Jesus, you are jacked up. How politically correct is that? But see, listen, and the same then, but even worse, because they were persecuting, they were dragging. Paul was dragging people in, well, not now, but before, he was dragging people into prison. The persecution of the church was real. But what's going on? Now he's in prison, now he's in chains, and he won't shut up. And you know what it did? It empowered all these other people that aren't in chains. Hello? You ever notice someone and all of a sudden they'll start to lose some weight? You know what I mean? And you're like, man, I want to lose some weight too. Right? Has that ever happened? You know what I mean? You're like, man, I want you, hey, right? Or somebody, you know what? They're like, hey, you know, you got to go see this movie. And all of a sudden you're like, man, I want to go see that movie. There's this encouragement that's taking place, but not like that, like way more intense. Way more intense. Hello? Kind of like Rocky. Remember Rocky, and he's getting the tar beat out of him. You know what I mean? And at some point in time, he recognized that the guy that he was fighting, that he knocked all these people out right away, you know what, and had this big reputation, and he recognized at some point in time, hey, this guy's hitting me with his best shot, and I'm still not going down. Remember this? Yeah. And what's he say? You ain't so bad. You know what I mean? Some of you young kids don't even know what he said, but anyway. You know what I mean? He said, you ain't so bad. That's what's happening. All these people, see, you know what, this big threat, like, ooh, we're going to kill you, and we're going to persecute you, we're going to put you in chains. And Paul's, you know what, and Paul's in chains, and he's like, man, this is a good thing, man. Things are happening here in this jail, man. People are getting saved, and all these things are happening. And things are happening because he's got such a right attitude. Because smiling is his favorite, it is infecting all these other people, and now it's not only inside there, but it's going outside. It's going here, like they say, you know what? It went viral. Is that what they say? There was no internet, and yet it went viral. It's like, hey, he's in prison. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident in my chains, they weren't confident before, but I got confident, and I kept a good attitude, and look what it did, man. Are much more bold to speak the word without fear. They watch him and they're like, hey, man, I'm a bad dude too. No, that's what they're thinking. They're thinking, man, you know what? You put him in chain. Hey, come on, what you gonna do? Come on, put it on me. You know what? I ain't gonna shut up. I'm gonna tell you the truth, and the truth is gonna set you free. You know what I mean? Remember that? Remember in that movie? What was that movie? War Room. You know what? And the guy has a knife on her, and the older lady, and the other lady, and they're like, give me your money. You don't want, give me your money. She's like, in the name of Jesus. Remember this? Then I love what she says. Then later on, when the police are putting out the report, she says, don't forget the name of Jesus. They leave that out all the time. Amen. He's not forgetting the name of Jesus. He's not forgetting. And what is taking place is it's empowering all these other people. What is he doing? Here's what he's doing. He is focusing on Jesus Christ. See, can I tell you what? Here's what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible says. Roman guys in the back, Romans chapter 8, verse 10. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. Look at this. And if Christ is in you, how many are you born again? If you're not, you can get born again today. How many of you are born again? Raise your hand if you're born again. Okay, look all over. So say, this is for me. Say, this is about me. And if you're in Christ, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the spirit in him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the spirit who dwells in you. What does that mean? What is that meaning in correlation to our lives? Keep it there. Let me teach this to you. Here's what I'm saying. Stop being so bummed out. Stop being so depressed. Stop allowing all this stuff that you go through to cause you to be Stop it. Here's why. Because the same spirit that lived in Christ lives in you. It raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies. I love God because God recognizes, he knows. He knows how it feels to be going someplace and spilling some. You think Jesus never spilled something on his, whatever he was wearing? You think Jesus never, you know what, was sawing something accidentally or hammering something and accidentally didn't hit his thumb? No, God lived in a real world, and you know what? And he was subject to all the inconveniences, all the annoyances that you go through. Well, not all of them in that, you know what, he didn't ever have to deal with traffic, you know what? Right? But I guarantee you, there was a bunch of stuff that he dealt with, annoyances that you don't ever have to deal with. All I'm saying is, God is being real, and he's saying, listen, guys, your mortal bodies, where you live, you are giving way too much empowerment to your flesh to talk and complain and worry, and you know what? And today is the day that smiling needs to become your favorite. Your favorite. See, you can choose to be happy if you want to be happy. Number one point, you have the power to be happy. Number two, people give their joy away. People give their joy away. You know what the Bible says? The joy of the Lord is your what? The joy of the Lord is your strength. They give it away a couple times, a couple ways. The Bible says we are to put on garments of righteousness. Or is it put on garments of righteousness? And even Paul is speaking to people who love Christ, who are born again already, and he still tells them, put off the old nature. What's the old nature? The old nature is noticing everything that is bad. How many know we can become that way, where we just notice, you know what, this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong, and I hate this, and oh, it's too hot, you know what I mean? Oh, it's hot, you know what I mean? If it rains, I hate the rain, it messes up my hair, you know what I mean? Oh, praise God, it's not raining. I know, but it's hot. Hello? What is it? You know, what is, do you see how we are? You know, it's cool and it's raining, damn it, you know what I mean? You know, oh, I hate the drought. We got a drought. Okay. You know, do you know how much we got to pay for water now? You know what I mean? Oh, okay. Great. Praise God. It's raining all the time now. See, it's that, you know what, can I tell you what that is? That's the old nature. That is not the spirit of hope. It's not the spirit of joy. And because of it, listen, you're very susceptible, because if the joy of the Lord is your strength, you know what, then whining becomes, it's kind of like, remember Superman? I don't know, Superman was a bad dude, right? But what caused him not to be a bad dude? What?
Kryptonite.
What is kryptonite anyway? Where do you get kryptonite? Is kryptonite real?
Another planet.
Okay, that's okay. So here's my point. So that's, you know what? You know what to you? Kryptonite is anything that causes you to be negative. Any circumstance, you know what? And here's what I'm saying. There's circumstances. See, can I expose the lie? The lie is when everything gets better, then I'm happy. Here's the lie. I'm not happy because, you know what? I got up and you know what? And you know, whatever. You know, the dog tore up my brand new shoes. Right? Well, whatever it is, whatever the excuse is, here's what I'm saying. Guess what? You know, what are you going to do? You can get rid of the dogs? Right? No. You're somebody like, no, I'm not going to. No, you're not going to get rid of the dogs. Yeah, Tamara says never. They don't chew up shoes? Do our dogs chew up shoes? Really?
Never.
Do they take different items outside and put them all over the place?
It's called playing hide and seek.
Playing hide and seek. See? Smiling's her favorite. Amen. When I go outside and see all these, you know what, garments outside, I need to say, oh, I need to pick them up and say, oh, praise God. They're just playing hide and seek. Right? Which is, see that very illustrates my point. My point is, with situations in your life, if you've been lied to say this, as soon as all this stuff goes away, then I'm going to be happy. It's a deception, because you're never going to be happy. If that is your mentality, you will never be happy. Why? Because that's not going to happen on this earth anyway, right? That's not going to happen on this earth. If joyful living equals good situations, you know what? Then you're never going to have joyful living. This equation, listen to me, this equation, joyful living or good circumstances, or to say it like this, perfect circumstances equal joyful living. If that is your equation, and listen, and judge your mind, because you know how you think. And I would say probably almost every person in this room, that's what they think. They don't say, let me tell you why I'm unhappy. I'm unhappy because I choose to focus on the negative. This is really good. Most people in this room will not say, let me tell you why I'm not happy. I'm not happy because I focus on negative things all the time. And this equation, joyful living, you know what? As soon as everything becomes smooth, as soon as I get done with the remodel in the house, as soon as my husband starts emptying the trash, as soon as my kids start, you know what? As soon as my wife starts, as soon as I, whatever it is, that equation, listen to me, I wrote this down. If that is your equation, this is a recipe for misery. Just write it real big. Just get a chalkboard. You know, just write it real big and say, I am going to be miserable today, this week, this month, this year, and for the rest of my life. And sign it. Because, listen, that is what you're doing when you say, when you think. Let me tell you what, I'm I'm a happy person. You know what? The only reason I'm not happy is because I'm miserable. No, the only reason I'm not happy is because of everybody around me. Hello. Let me tell you what. And the truth is, listen, I'm gonna be straight up with somebody. If you were on the earth by yourself, you'd still be miserable. Can I tell you why? Because you'd find some giraffe that ticked you off. Hello? Is that not right? Because let me tell you what. It's not about, you know what it's about? It's about the choice that you're making. This is a recipe for misery. Yeah. Are you learning something?
Yeah.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul writes this whole book in a prison. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, for to me to write you the same thing is not tedious. But for your sake, it's safe. This is really important. He writes it over and over and over again. Beware of dogs. Let's just stop there. Okay. Let me preach to this section right here, okay? I'm just joking. Okay. But we all need to hear this. It's not talking about literal dogs. It's about people with a bad attitude. And here's what he's not saying. I don't want you to, hey, that's right, man, they're dogs. And I went to the grocery store the other day and I asked them for where the mustard was, and they said it was on aisle 3, and it wasn't even on aisle 3. See, they don't care about customer service, they're dogs. How many ever been frustrated at Home Depot? Raise your hand if you've been frustrated. How many ever, you know what, true story, you know what, I'm over at, you know, I've told you this before, but I'm this is a true story. I am over at Taco Bell. My wife wanted a certain taco. You know what? I order it. You know what? She messed up. Finally, I went in, messed up again. And then after her messing up 3 times on a simple order, then she wants to charge me an extra 50 cents. I'm so livid. You know what I mean? I just want to go, whoa. Why did you call this crazy taco where you drive the customers crazy? I was so mad. I was so mad. You know what? And the whole time I'm driving over there. Guess what I was driving? You know what? Hope Community Van. You know what? No, true story. Reaching our world with the explosive power of God's word and his love, one at a time. But let me tell you what, you better get my taco right. Right? You know what I mean? You know, we should have put that as what a sub heading, you know what? And don't mess up your tacos, you know what I mean? That'll tick us off. But here's what I'm saying. We've got to beware of, because, can I tell you what? And this is true. How many know there's an attitude of non-service? There's just an attitude that permeates the society. And they're working. And people are hiring these people. And they're not friendly. And they answer the phone with attitude, and then they lie. You know what I mean? You know, they're like, hey, you know, what's that? What's the new company? Spectrum or something? Yeah. Spectrum. You know, going, you know, to infinity and beyond. You know what I mean? We're gonna make your life, you know, way better than what was the old company? Way better than Time Warner. So we call Spectrum, you know what, for something, and the guy's like, hey, let me tell you what, you get our equipment, we're going to lower the price, you know what, we'll lower the price by 50% or 40%, you know what I mean? And same service. My wife spends 25 minutes on the phone with Spectrum, you know what I mean? The guy comes out, and the service guy, nice guy, service guy's like, hey, let me tell you what's going on. I can change all your equipment out, but when I change it out, then you can't record anything. And my wife is so sweet. He's like, can I help you with something else? I'm like, you can. Could you tell your supervisors that I don't appreciate you wasting my time? Where was the church van parked? Here's what I'm saying. Beware of dogs. See, you just got done saying the joy of the Lord is your strength. Listen, you're calling him a dog? No. Here, I'm hearing what I'm saying. I'm saying that they shouldn't have lied to us. And I told him, I said, here, could you, and I knew it wasn't his fault. I said, could you communicate to the people that are over you that this is irritating to a customer to have you come out to waste all this time, and then you're going to say, yeah, we can change the stuff, but when we change the stuff, you won't get. And the one thing that we like, because I don't like watching TV because I don't like a bunch of stuff on TV. So I like to use the recorder to record certain things that I like to see. You know what I mean? No, I really like Barney 5. Amen? Barney who? Just Google it. It's a great show. Amen? Amen. There's other, I'll watch different preachers and stuff. But here's what I'm saying. But here's what you need to beware of. You need to beware that you don't make those people feel. See, what is our calling to do? Our calling is to build them up. Not jump in the mud with them. See, that's what we do. You know what? Vengeance, the Bible says, is not yours. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Let me repay. Let me be your defense. You just be sweet. You just make smiling your favorite. Can I tell you what? You have to be preemptive in this. What does that mean? It means you have to pre-plan. Beware of dogs. Because if you're not aware, how many know the guy who's delivering your mail? How many know he's aware of dogs? Is that not right? He has preempted himself. You know they got mace? They'll spray your dog with hair. We'll spray your dog with mace if you get in our face. He's got it on him. He's ready to go. Can I tell you what? Beware, because they're coming. And not beware like, you know what, did you going to make? Oh, pastor, what'd you learn today? I learned that if you get the wrong taco, you can have some mace and mace that lady. You are not interpreting this message correctly. Amen? It's not what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. Beware of that spirit. We don't overcome evil with evil. We overcome evil with good. You be nice to that people. Be nice to that people, man. Be nice to those people. They're all over the place. And you've got to be preemptive. You can't just wake up, la, 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 la. You know what? The mailman doesn't do it, and you better not do it either. And right in context, right before he said, beware dogs, here's what he said. Rejoice. That's your calling. Smiling needs to be your favorite, or you're learning something. See, all I'm pointing out, guys, listen, all I'm pointing out is how simple it is for us to be filled with joy. Listen, if a simple silliness like that can cause us joy, for us to focus on what Christ has done for us, forget us eyes, or here's what the Bible says in Colossians. It says, get your minds on the thing above, not the things beneath. See, we spend so much time, you know what the Holy Spirit spoke to me this week, and he said, Drew, here's what you have to do. You really have to just focus on spiritual things way more than thinking on carnal things. I want you to, you say, Pastor, why do you say smiling's your favorite? Here's why, because I want to communicate a very spiritual truth in a very practical way that we can laugh. I don't know if we have it. Joel, I don't know if you can put it up, but Shayla came up. She said, Dad, listen to this. You know what I'm talking about, Joel? That we trust in God. We believe in His Spirit. Do you know what I'm talking about? Anyway, I'll have it to you in the second service. But it's this awesome commission of who we are. And it's this, it's just powerful because it says, our purpose is to Christ. Or you know what, we walk in love, all this stuff. And then she gets done and I said, oh, we're going to put that on our wall in our church. But we're going to add one thing on the bottom. And smiling is our favorite. Yeah. Smiling is our favorite. You know, listen, don't let the cares of this world, don't let all this stuff rip you off of your joy. Don't allow those people at, you know what, that are all around you. You know, don't allow them to take from you what God has given you. Focus on Jesus Christ. In Him we live and move and have our being. You have so many reasons. If Paul can point out the positive and he's right in the middle of jail, you know what? I guarantee you. Why do I do that? Here's why. Because you're kind of in the habit of doing that. Most people, I don't want to be negative, but I want to be real with you. I would say most people, even Christian people that you run into, they have a tendency to focus on that which is negative. And we've got to knock it off. You know, if that means you need to fast on the internet, fast the internet. If that means you need to stop watching TV, stop watching TV. Because you can't allow that. Beware of the dogs. You can't allow that. And listen, and they're not like dogs, like, oh, they're awful people. They don't know. Yeah. Don't be mad at sinners for acting like sinners. Yeah. That's how don't get mad at them. Have compassion for them. But don't grab the other end of the chew toy. Stop it. Right? Right? Stop it. Yeah, amen. They just come to me all day long. Camera, come on over here.
Sounds like that's inspired by our little ones, though. See what a blessing they are? See what a blessing they are?
Yeah, just another proof of the love that I have for my dogs.
There you go. All right, I wanted to share with you. It really, as you were sitting there talking about all this, I remembered a time, and some of you are familiar with this story and some of you not. But the Spirit of God just spoke to me and said, it's really about gratitude and understanding about what has been done for us by the Lord. The Apostle Paul was, if you'll look at some of his writings, he is so conscious of what has been done and what his role is. Very, very conscious. I remember Pastor preached a sermon many years ago. It was one of those ones that was just kind of life-changing. It stuck. And it was, I'm trying to remember the title of it, but it was about not complaining. And one of what he had talked about was the Apostle Paul, and it goes through, the Apostle Paul goes this whole list of all this really brutal stuff that he's gone through. And then he says this, but these light afflictions. And it was just shortly after hearing that sermon that we had decided to put some insulation in the attic for the children's ministry and for the sound room and all the rooms that used to be over there. There was absolutely no insulation in this building when it was built down on that end. And so we got up at 3 or 4 in the morning. We were here at the crack of dawn because the attic gets really hot really quick. And so we got here really, really at a crazy hour so that we could start feeding insulation up the attic hole and try and start tucking it all down. It's not fun to crawl into the rafters when the roof goes like this and you got to get down into that corner, I can testify. And so we were up there doing that very thing, crawling across the 2x4s or 1x6s or whatever the heck they are that are in a ceiling, those things. You know what? Imagine crawling on your knees against those not comfortable, Fred says. I promise you it's not. And so we're up there at a crazy hour with a little train of people. You would kind of go backwards, grab the insulation, and then crawl a certain far and then hand it to the next person. And then the next person would keep on passing it until we were getting it in all the corners and tucking it. Well, all of a sudden, a bunch of the people on the train were not there. And so I've got a guy way deep in the corner, and he's like, what's happening? You know, what's going on? I'm like, I don't know. Where did everybody go? So I'm crawling the whole length and grabbing insulation and coming back. And I'm the whole time I'm thinking, where is everybody? And by this time, it's maybe 10 o'clock in the morning, which, I mean, we're getting to be over 100 degrees up there. It was nuts. It's crazy. Like, unless you don't understand unless you understand. And so as I'm laying there just, and it's dusty and you're gagging, it's just a mess. And so I'm in all of that, and you know what my mouth wants to do? Yeah, I was ready to just lose it. And then I remember the sermon, These Light Afflictions. And I thought to myself, Tamara, this is nothing compared to what the Apostle Paul went through. Watch it. So as I understand, see, when we have a gratitude and an understanding of what has taken place, it puts us in check. If we're not in check on that, if that's not on our mind constantly, we will just automatically veer this way because life happens all day long. I want to read to you something. This is very, very interesting, the word here. 14:20, this is Numbers 14:23. Now, you know, it says, this is when, remember the children of Israel, God had delivered them. He had told them about the promised land. The spies went and spied it out. 10 of them said, no way, we can't do it. 2 of them said, yes, we can. God is with us. We can. Joshua and Caleb were the two who said, yes, we can. These were not the toddlers in the group, by the way. These were the leaders that were sent in to spy the land. When they end up, coming back, and many of them back with Moses, you know what are they doing? They're all complaining constantly. You'll see if you go back when Moses is with them in the desert initially, they just, I mean, yip 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 about one thing or another. And look at what God says. Because finally, it kind of gets to enough. The Bible is very clear. God hates murmuring and complaining. You know why he hates it? Because we are so clearly not mindful of him, and we do not have a gratitude. You cannot take the one away without the other. If you're running your mouth complaining about something, then you're not trusting God just kind of automatically. And see, we kind of don't see it that way, which is what causes us to get down this road. But we need to see it that way because that's how God sees it. Look at this in Numbers 14:23. This is when he's after Joshua and Caleb came back. So he says, and not one of them will ever see the promised land on an oath to their ancestors. I swear, no one who has treated me, look at how God sees it, with contempt will ever see it. Let's see if I... Oh. But because of my servant, Caleb, who had a different spirit, who follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land. And he went into it with his descendants. Do you see how he sees it? If you find yourself complaining, let me just tell you the antidote. You really need to begin to meditate on what you're grateful for in your life. Just blessings. How good God is. How available God is to you. What a resource God is. How powerful God is. Whatever will fit the situation. But as we're talking and murmuring and complaining, it's just showing a lack of gratitude and a lack of really believing in God and what he can do and how powerful he is. I want to give you one more scripture, Philippians 2:14, because this is all over your Bible. Do everything without grumbling and arguing. He just talks about it and talks about it and talks about it. It's a huge thing because remember how he saw it? He saw it as those who have treated me with contempt will never see the promised land. So he calls it, he sees that as treating him with contempt. And then the second thing is, he says that Caleb and Joshua, they followed him wholeheartedly. So God sees it as us not being all in with him when we do that. That kind of puts a lot more heaviness on it, doesn't it? Amen.